For this we ask, Lord, now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' precious name.
Amen
and amen. Well, this evening I've got a title for those who are taking notes, and it's called Transition of the Will. Transaction of the Will. I'm so sorry. Transaction of the Will. Transaction of the Will. And I will explain what I mean by this, because we're actually going to be talking about our will, man's will. And we've got to remember that when man fell from the presence of God into sin, sadly, also his will did. And of course, the enemy was out to attack man's will, because up until that point, before man was deceived, his will was to do God's will. They were in perfect harmony, complete, absolute harmony. And of course, when man fell into sin, he realized that there were choices to be made. He began to see that there is a will, and he could choose to do what was right with that will or what was wrong. And of course, their testing in the garden was all to do with will, obedience. So we're going to look this evening at transaction of the will. Have we deliberately committed our wills unto the Lord? Because that's really the focal point that's going to come out of this teaching tonight. We all of us grapple with doing the will of God. There's not one saint, if you're truly born again and filled with the Spirit, you will find that there is a grappling with our wills, doing God's will. And we're going to find, or you will find, that there is a battle on. And so it is important that we deliberately commit our wills over to the Lord. In other words, it's a transaction of the will. It's deliberately done, the same as we deliberately take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. So our wills, if you like, are a transaction. they are committed over to the Lord. Now, this transaction of the will is not about emotions. Emotions can have its place, but we're not talking about emotions here. Before we go on any further with this, I want us to look at the Gospel of John, and I want us to look at verses 7 to 9 of the Gospel of John. And Jesus is risen from the dead. He's been seen by many and by the disciples. And the disciples are out now fishing, sort of gone back to their occupation, looking for fish, food, and so forth. And the Lord appears. And in verse 7, it says here in chapter 21, "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but abode 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.'" And so, Jesus, always being practical like he is, they're going to eat and so forth, and eat the catch of the day. What do we know there? We see that Peter, he plunges into the sea, puts on his garment, and off he goes, wades out onto dry land to the Lord. And the others realize that they have a catch and so on, so they're going to bring in the boats and everything, you know, a bit more practical, and then we'll meet with the Lord and so on. So you get a good picture of these different characters, don't you? But have we ever had a crisis in our lives where you have had to drop everything and just go and do something? Because that's what Peter fundamentally is doing there. He's dropped everything. He's left all the nets and everything, because we see they bring the rest in. He weighs out and goes to the Lord. So he leaves everything, that impulse, you know, to seek the Lord. But have we ever, at a crisis, dropped everything in a similar way? It's a crisis of the will. You've at that moment chose to drop everything and do whatever's required. You didn't really think about, well, should I, shouldn't I, whatever it is. You just did it. For example, you get a phone call, someone's ill, someone in the family. What do? You drop everything, you go round, or you just, you're not sort of suddenly, Lord, what is your will, or whatever. You just do it, don't you? Or somebody's locked out the house, they need the key, you drop everything and go around because you've got a spare key. Or another story where you've got a phone call, your son's arrested, he's at the police station, come and fetch him, drop everything. What do? Get in the car, and you go and get him, don't you? Or you've got people who make a profession of dropping everything or changing everything at the slit of a call or whatever it is to attend to whatever they have to do. For example, what comes to mind is a fireman. SOS, a call. What do? They're not there. If God, a Christian, say, well, Lord, do you want us to go and put this fire out or not? What's your will? They're trained, they go off and they do it, don't they? Police do exactly the same. If they're called, they go off to deal with crime or whatever it is. Ambulance do exactly the same. If they've got a call to attend to an accident or patient, whatever it is, in they go and off they go. You see? So They're doing what they know is right to do. Their will is in operation. They're not questioning it. They're just doing it because it's what's called of them to do. And we have done that many times through our life. However, the true transaction of the will, this, however, is an internal work. This is something of the heart. The above that I've just spoken about, that's all something that is external, what we probably do physically, we'll do with our hands or whatever it is, but the will is still there in which to do it, obviously. But many believers, however, they think that that is doing the will of God. Was Peter suddenly plunging out into the sea, coming into dry land, was he doing the perfect will of God at that point? You know? Well, you know, we see his heart, but he's impulsive. And the story shows, because the rest of them had to do the practical work, don't they? You see? And sometimes that can go on in the house of God, can't it? You know, somebody goes off and does something impulsive, and the rest, they have to carry on, you know, scrubbing the floor or clearing the hall up, making sure everything's tidy and so forth, and so on. You know, it's wonderful. The Bible's so good at these stories, and how we can, when we look at them, we can pick up a deeper meaning. However, the true transaction of the will, this is a work of the heart, not this external where, you know, we do these things. And many, many Christians, and we're not saying that you don't help someone if you get an SOS. That's not what we're saying. I mean, you know, one could to a certain extent use the parable of the Good Samaritan. Although he provided for this sick person to be made well and so forth. But is that really the will, doing God's will, that God is actually looking for? That is the question that we're raising tonight. Because many Christians believe that they're doing the will of God, but they're often doing something that is on the impulse side. They do a good work or whatever it is, and one doesn't criticize that because we've done that as well. But is that really what the Bible shows as the true will of God? See, I'm trying to bring this up this evening so that we can work out what God is really actually saying here. Because when we surrender our will, or that transaction of the will, then we're beginning to look at something completely different. We're, if you like, surrendering the will, or this transaction of the will, over emotions, impulses, or whatever. We're surrendering the will so that emotions really don't play a part in this. In other words, I'm not surrendering my will over because I feel all spiritual tonight. We've had a wonderful meeting. I'm all charged up and everything. And what I'll do for God tonight is nobody's business. And so, you know, there's prayers after the sermon. You know, I've been in meetings where, and I've done exactly the same. And you've been stirred up by the meeting and everything. And hearing what comes out of your mouth, and you're committing yourself over to God and everything. But what we're really doing, we're speaking, confessing by those emotions. Emotions have their place, don't get me wrong. They really do, as I will show later. But we've so often committed our wills, or transacted our wills over to God because we've been emotionally moved. And it doesn't work in the end. Emotions will never let you surrender fully to God's will. They don't. Because emotions so often make us impulsive and act on what we do. Peter acted by emotion there, you see? And this is what I'm trying to bring out. Because when he comes to the shore, he's challenged by the Lord. Do you love me? Mm-hmm. Three times, God had to really bring that home. First two times, he wasn't really hearing. The third time, he stopped. It was no longer emotions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He was thinking. And God does the same with us. He has a way in which he does it with us. You see, so often we are forced with decisions or moral issues that determine an outcome, and so the surrender of the will at that point is essential. So if we have committed our wills to God, not in an emotional sense, but we have sat down, we have thought it through, my will is to do your will, Father, and I know that there may be a battle here, I know there are going to be times when I may not fully understand, or I'm going to find it difficult, or whatever, but I have to settle this with you, because otherwise my will is going to be affected so often by emotions and feelings that alter like the wind. So that is really what God is trying to get to. And he was trying to get to that, really, with Peter and, of course, the rest of the disciples. And he has a way in which he does this. Because when we surrender to the will of God, we then are able to be able to make those right choices. And some of those choices are moral issues, ethical issues. You can't just suddenly run to scripture. Are you finding, I don't know about you, but I'm finding in life, as I'm going on with God, that there are a lot of things that come up and are going on and everything I don't always have scripture for. I can't just go and get a proof text, bang, bang, bang. It would be nice, but it doesn't work that way, because this is part of our growing up now. And so if we are fully surrendered to God and we've surrendered our wills, we're going to find that whatever situation we're in, whatever conflict, whatever moral issue, or we're always having to make decisions. We're going to be in harmony with God because we're going to be hearing God. This is the way, walk ye in it, as the scriptures say. And we're going to find then, as we are surrendering our wills to God, that there's no longer that battle against God's will and my will and so forth. And, you know, we have that. And sometimes God for a season is going to let us have our own way. We're going to go, which we know scripturally is called, out of the perfect will of God into the permissive will of God. He allows that because he's trying to show us the difference, you see. And he has a way, he's going to bring us to that place to surrender that will. And of course he was doing exactly the same there with Peter, as he does it with us. So this committing, or this transaction of our will over to God's will, so that they are in perfect harmony and oneness, is something that we deliberately choose to do. It's not something that I must do, or I better do it, or whatever. Forget it. It's choosing to surrender our will to God, because we love him, and his will is always right. And his will for us isn't always going to entertain our emotions and feelings. The same, of course, as faith is. You might sometimes feel an anointing. Sometimes if God's presence for healing can be felt. But whether it is or it isn't, as we know, we go by what the scriptures tell us and what the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding, and so on, we appropriate by faith, you see. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, if we're going to always look for emotions and so forth, well, there's not going to be a lot going on in our meetings. The Quakers fell into that trap. Their meetings, week after week, were just simply waiting on God, sometimes with quiet music in the background, until somebody started to have a bit of a tremble or whatever it is, or felt a bit of stirring going on, and then they may piped up with something, or maybe prophesied, or whatever it is. I mean, there must have been long, drawn-out meetings. They must have been, you know? So they got it wrong. They were waiting for feelings, emotions, thinking that that was faith and the Holy Spirit and so forth. We walk by faith and not by sight, because everything is changing, everything is moving. I mean, you know, everything in life is constantly on the change, on the move, all the time, as we know. So here it is, it's settling this will, our will, in line with God's will, so that we can meet those choices, those decisions in everyday life, and we can determine to surrender the will at that point. I'm reminded of something very familiar that we know very well in the book of Proverbs. I know I quote this quite often, but it's a very important principle, this, and God taught me this scripture years ago to walk by this principle, because believe me, it really, really does work. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, as we know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So it's speaking about the heart, the inner man, the heart of man. And that is where you have committed, surrendered, or made a transaction of the will over to God's will. So you've done it because it's an affection of the heart. It's in the inner man. So you've done that, and he says, and lean not on your own understandings, which can also include our emotions and feelings that quite often can be attached to them. In all your ways acknowledge him. There is your prayer life, there is your acknowledgement, there is your talking it out with God, Lord, what is your will in this? And what is the promise? And he shall direct your path. And that is where you can rest by faith, because you have done everything you know to do. You have done the principles of that word. You've committed it over to him. Now just wait and let him establish the path. That's what it means. Let him bring it to you so that you begin to see it. And he so often does. He brings that path to you. He makes that paved way through the desert, or through an obstacle. If there's a mountain there, he'll pave a pathway through. And he does. Don't ask me how he does it, but he's a working miracle God. Mm. And he does do it.
Mm.
But your will can surrender in whatever situation, no matter how big or how small or whatever it is. If you surrendered your will, you've made that transaction, then whatever the obstacle, no matter how big, how great it is, you can surrender your will over to God at that point, and he will lead and guide in his right time and way, without you being stressed, worry, anxiety, all those things that we still at times can be plagued with. And when, if you've got those anxieties and fears going on, it's a clear sign, my will is not yet in harmony with God's will.
Mm.
I'm still fighting at this point. I'm still wanting to do it my way.
Mm.
And I know Rome wasn't built in a day. And, you know, we're still learning. And I've been almost 40 years at this. But there's still a huge amount that I still learn and am learning. But we know about God's will because we're taught it, and we are probably taught right from infants. I'm not sure so many are today, sadly. Mm. But we were taught right from infants mm-hmm. about God's will. Mm-hmm. Do you know what it's in? The Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right in the Lord's Prayer, in which he says here, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Right there. So a lot of us were weaned on that principle, particularly if you went to a church school, which in many ways I was fortunate as falls and it's against like a lot of these things, but at least the word was going in even then. Also in Matthew 7 and verse 21, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And that is why it is important that we make a transaction of our will. We hand it over. That's what a transaction means. It's no longer my will, but thy will be done. What does it say also in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Luke 22, Jesus himself, he learns about man's will in his flesh, Luke 22 and verse 42, there's verse 42, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.
Mm.
What was Jesus doing there at that point? He was making a transaction of his will over to his Father, that it would be accomplished and done. Thank God that he did, because we wouldn't be here tonight having this meeting if he didn't do that. And so we find that there is this transaction of our will that we make over to God. Did he go by feelings or emotions there? No, he didn't. He saw what the will of his Father was. That was one of his purposes coming into the world. He knew that. He saw that. Always before him. What about Paul's conflict of the will? So Paul had something to say in Romans chapter 7. We've got some scriptures here on all this now that I'm talking about. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there is nothing good that dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. And so he goes on, and of course he's distinguishing the fact of the work of the Holy Spirit working always within us, through us, the will of God. And of course the will is established. When we talk of the will, we're also talking with regard to the flesh, because we can minister to the flesh, we can want our own way, do our own thing, my own will and everything, and all of that is ministering to I, self, the will, the flesh. Or if we see that the cross deals with the flesh daily, then with that cross is that surrendering of the will. And so God then works with us so that we are ever moving more and more into God's will and plan for our lives. If only the church had come back into the will and plan of God, she would not have fallen into the apostate state that she had been in for centuries. And of course that is where Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is so essential, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers us to be able to experience the will of God. See, because otherwise the flesh, when I say the flesh, I'm talking about the will, because it's in the mind, that's where we battle it. It's all part of the flesh. There is a perfect will of God and a permissive will of God, and Scripture does show this. We see many of the saints, particularly in the Old Testament, how sometimes they came out of the will of God, God's perfect will. And God sees them, allow them to be in that permissive experience in order to bring them back so that they won't make that mistake anymore. And God sometimes allows that with us. But we see another point of the will that we surrender, one we know very well in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and it says here in verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So again, we get another understanding of how God, where we have made that transaction, committing our wills over to God, because we know what verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So you're putting yourself, the whole being, on that altar. And that also includes what? The will. Because he tells us then in verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world." Obviously not, because there's a conflict of the will otherwise. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So we see the Holy Spirit has come to renew our minds, to place the mind of Christ in our mind, and not our mind any longer. And that's why we cast down those thoughts and imaginations, all those things that war, so that we experience the one who lives in us now, which is Christ, and we experience his mind, and if we're experiencing his mind, we're experiencing his will. And it is important to have the will of Christ, because the will of Christ is the Father's will. They're in perfect harmony. They can't separate. So he says, "You're transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So can I suggest to you, this transaction of the will is so that you can prove without doubt that this is the will of God. And this is important as I start to bring this to a close, because your will is going to be challenged by the powers of darkness. And we see no clearer picture of that than when Jesus was going to the cross. They were all trying to stop him. They didn't want his will, which was the Father's will, to be accomplished. And many times we've seen Christians oppose or try to be stopped. How often are the powers of darkness trying to stop us fulfilling the will of God? In whatever way God is, as he's moving us and so forth, we find that there are constant obstacles. But our will, if it is settled with God, whatever obstacles are there, we have determined, we have set our heart, we know that this is the will of God, therefore it must come to pass. And we are learning the will of God. The promises of God's word are his will. It is his will to deliver us. It is his will to save us. It is his will to heal us. It is his will to bless us and so forth. Mm-hmm. What he's doing with us is getting us to settle our will with God. We think we have, but we haven't. Because if we had, we wouldn't be having this teaching here tonight. I can tell you that for starters. So praise God, he loves us, and he's getting it right with us. And how does he work this? Well, we know this one very, very well, but we need to look at this in Philippians 2 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, in which he says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure." And that's how he's accomplishing it.
Mm.
And when we have settled our will, then we're no longer going to find that the one we're really fighting with is the Lord. There have been times in the past, oh, I've really had a battle today with the enemy, my goodness me, oh, we've had a right punch up and so on and everything. And then a few days later, God actually shows you, no, that wasn't the enemy, it was actually me you were fighting with. So that's what he does. He shows us what his will is. And if we surrender our will over to God, not in that emotional state, but we sit down and we say, Lord, I only want your will for my life, then God is going to begin to work that. As we have just read here, for it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure.
Amen.
But there has to be that transaction of the will. Otherwise, our wills are only ever going to be moved by emotions, feelings. As I said at the beginning, you know, sometimes, and it's good to feel anointed, it's good to praise and worship God, it's good to feel and experience the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. So those emotions have their place, don't get me wrong, but you can never allow those emotions to cause you to settle your will with God's will,
mm-hmm.
because it ain't going to last. It was done on an emotional state. You've got to deliberately sit, be quiet, and wait on God. That is why Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Because he had to learn, he had to know that doing his Father's will, going to the cross, was not in any way emotional. Because he knew, I mean, he was looking to the disciples for a little bit of support. And they weren't much help. Went off to sleep. And but he's before God because he is settling, there's a transaction of the will that's in harmony with God's will. And that when he had settled it, after prayer and everything, as I always keep saying, when they came for him and arrested him, the victory was won in his heart. It was settled.
Mm.
It simply had to be done by man, which was fulfilled in scripture, putting him to the cross. He died. In other words, God was working him both to will and do for his good pleasure. When we settle it, when we settle the emotions, all the problems, everything that affects us, and we then harmonize our will with God's will, then the Holy Spirit, he will take over. And you'll look and you'll think to yourself, how did that happen?
Mm.
How did I make that will? How did God do it? But he did.
Mm.
He did. Because you made a transaction of the will.
Yeah.
And when you see those things in your life, and we've all got them, I've got them, there are things that I've done, I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I did that at that point. But God worked in me and I settled it. Then God took over. You simply do what he wants you to do. Why is this all so important? Simply because that is where God gets the glory.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything to do with you or me. This was all of God. God worked that in me. Because it doesn't lie in me in the natural. I'm always going to do the opposite to God. I'm going to do what I want to do. And so on. Because that's how we are. Don't ever kid yourself. This is why we need to be humble before God, because the humble are shown by God exactly what we look like and what we're capable of doing. And the humble always have a fear of what pride can do in our lives, left to ourselves. You do. It's something God shows you.
Yeah.
And praise God for it. Finally, Hebrews 13, verse 21. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21. There's a lovely scripture here. Let's take it from verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. So what is he saying he'll do? Make you complete in every good work to do his will. Who's going to do it? You? Good ideas? Emotions? Oh, that was a good meeting tonight. Praise God, the Lord's present. I think I'll surrender my will over now to God, you know, and everything. No, no. It is the Holy Spirit, God, who will work and make it complete so that our wills are in line with God's will, because that is where peace is. That is where God makes a highway. That is where he removes those mountains, those obstacles. I mean, if we're doing the will of God, and always if you do the will of God, I will say 9 times out of 10, there's obstacles to that will, in God's will, unless I've got it wrong, because I know it in my own life. Mm-hmm. When I start to see God's will in a situation, boy, the obstacles, the trials, the mountains, they're just, you know. And I think, no, that is God's will. It's not up to me how he's going to remove those things or whatever it is. That isn't my concern. All I know is he's going to, because he's God. But it's his will. And when we keep our eyes on the ball, his will, that is God, the kingdom, which we're always saying, you will see as you move in accordance by faith in his will, it somehow just starts to disappear. It happens. And that is what God is teaching us as we make that deliberate choice of surrendering our will over to God. As I started in the beginning on this story of, again, Peter running out of the boat to the Lord on the shore because he sees him there, moved by compulsion, emotions, you see. God saw that. Okay, it's a nice thing too. And we've done it. But then the Lord had to challenge him. Do you love me? And on the third time, he started to realize God was serious. God was really saying something. First two times he wasn't getting it. And we're the same. Sometimes it takes a long time for it to drop from our heads to our hearts. Sometimes I'm saying, Lord, forgive me that it takes so long. Forgive me that I'm still blind to so many things that you're trying to open my eyes to see. But I know he will, because he loves us and nothing's going to separate us from that love. Everything at the end of the day is all because he loves us, and our faith works by love. This word that he's giving out to us tonight is because he loves us. He loves us, that's why he's drawn us here tonight in his presence, because he's showing us something that we can experience with him. He's showing that we can walk with him like Jesus walked. When Jesus learned to surrender, to give it over and leave it there and believe that God will begin to work. It's that mustard seed of faith. That's all he ever asks for. That's that little seed of mustard seed of faith we present, we give in our believing to God, and God says, right, I'll take it now. I'll work. And he works as he does. And note what comes out of the little mustard seed. A huge tree. And so on. And that's how he does it. So it's this transaction of the will. It's deliberately choosing that choice. It's expecting, believing, desiring, wanting God's will. And you can only do that when you get quiet and still before God. There are some things that we have to work out with God that you can't even work out in a meeting, as blessed as these meetings are. This is why sometimes the message, your answer, is in the Word of God. Sometimes people say to me, oh, I don't know what the will of God is, and what is he saying, whatever. I just say, keep listening to the Word, keep listening, because you will hear it. It'll be in there, somewhere, somehow. And when you hear it, when it's there, very often, you've got to take that before God in your closet, and you have to talk that out. But I believe tonight, the nature of this teaching is in such a way where what we have heard makes us take this away and be still before God as we surrender our will over to his will. So that we get all emotions, feelings, everything out of the way, we work it through. I'm reminded, as I bring this to a close now, God was constantly trying to work this with the children of Israel. And you know, in Isaiah's ministry, and when Isaiah came on the scene, a great prophet, of course Israel was in apostasy, she's falling further and further away. And I believe it's in chapter 2, God is calling Israel, come now, let us reason together, let us agree. At that point, Israel's not in agreement with God. What is the problem? The will. And he's saying, come apart, let us agree, let us talk it out, let us meet face to face so that this can be settled. See? We have to do that sometimes in life. You have to do it sometimes with your children. You sometimes have to do it in a marriage or whatever it is. You have to actually sit, work it out, and agree. And there are things that God does the same with us, and most certainly where the will of God is concerned. Because our will at times is going to be in conflict with God's will. Because we are challenged with it, and sometimes he lets us just do our own will for a while until we're sick of whatever it is, and we come back, and then we, at that point, we surrender our will to us. That's why he works in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. God has a way of burning it out of us. God has a way of where we have made ourselves so sick on that what we're eating that I don't want any more of it. I'm sick of it. You know? Like the children of Israel with the quail. They were greedy and whatever, and they were sick on it, you see? And God works that spiritually with us. So that, and all it is just, he wants us to surrender to do his will. Because God's will is never, ever wrong. Mm-hmm. That's why. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. Absolute perfection, his will. And his will is that you might prosper. Mm-hmm. That you will flourish. That you will be that creation in the palm of his hand, revealing God's love, his presence, his power, his anointing. Everything that he is, you are as well. Everything that is in Christ is in you as well. That is why Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not about me, it's about the life of Christ that lives in me. No. Father, again tonight, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for our fellowship, not only with each other, but above all with you. And Lord, part of our fellowship that we have with you is where you share your word, your will, with us. And Lord, tonight we have heard it. Tonight, Father, we have things to consider, to take away, and to seek you on. Father, tonight you have shown us what may be lacking in our lives, and that is a surrender, a transaction of the will. Lord, we hand it over to you. We desire that our will is your will. We know that this has got nothing to do with emotions or however we've been stirred tonight by this meeting, whatever it is. We realize, Father, that this is something that we have to sit and wait upon and look to you. So, Father, I pray that you would grant this in each one who hears this word, that this will be a major breakthrough, and that we will begin to experience your will being our will, and the two in complete unity and harmony. And so, Lord, I pray you'll be with us, bless us, and ever preserve us until we assemble again, because we ask this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
And Jesus is the